Testing. I can hear something. Well, it's a joy to be here. How's our piano player going downstairs? Is that her there? Come up here. Can someone just go? Is there any other kids in there? Someone just keep an eye. That's your husband? Oh, you can come out. Oh, that's better. We're back on air. Oh, well, you shouldn't have told me that. Now I've got to say something good. You got a real gift. And it's not just a music gift. It's a prophetic gift. You lifted the congregation today. I've got something to say as a prophetic word to the congregation in a moment. But you lifted the congregation today. And you need to develop that. Now, it's not just music. And you know, whatever your program is, when you're leading, if the Holy Ghost says, just go off after the first song, go off. And you lifted it. And that was powerful. And it's spot on to what I'm going to share in a moment. But not only that, God's going to build a solid team around you. And they'll be at one spirit. Can you hang on for just a second? Testing. There we go. But also, and I've seen this a lot lately, God said to me to tell you that as you worship like that and press in and forget everything else, He's going to send angels to sing with you. So in the spirit realm, you've got to start speaking them into being. Because God's got a mandate for this church. And you're going to play a vital part in that. Because Joshua sent the singers out first. And the church has got to sing the singers out first. We shouldn't have to, and it won't be one day. But the problem is the people come to church empty. And they've got to be filled. But it's not going to be that long and the people will come full. And the whole church will change. But you're there to lift them and just go into that prophetic more and more. Don't hold back. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By way of confirmation, you're going to see an angel this week when you're worshiping. Shh. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we back on with this one or? Use this one. Okay. Just trying to tie me down, I know. You should see me when I got these things. I get tied up in knots because I do circles. Oh, where's John? You going to put me on air, mate? I don't know. You can't get good assistance. You know, he's had me at his house all this week and he hasn't fed me. My suit fits me because I just haven't eaten. And, you know, he's left me at home all day on my own. I feel rejected. Nah, he's been good. We crack jokes with each other. But you know, one of the beautiful things of the conference we've been having is not so much the speaker, but it's the team. And that's vital. That's vital because God has other prophetic voices. And we've seen some tremendous healing. We've prayed for a couple of times. We had a lady last night, an older lady. She was here tonight, and she came out at the end, and she says, we prayed for a new knee. And she said, there's no pain. Look, I can walk on my knee. And we've seen that all the time. Now, I've been healed of cancer. 20 years ago, I declared war on Satan, and I've seen many, many people healed of cancer. I go to the Third World Nations. Most of my ministry is in the Third World Nations. And I was in Kenya last year for 7 weeks. I preached 70 times in 7 weeks. And we saw one lady, and you can watch it on YouTube, the testimony's there. We saw one lady that came from hospital and was told she had days to live because of cancer. And we prayed for her, and God totally healed her there in the meeting. We saw 8 to 12 people healed of cancer. We saw blind eyes open. We saw deaf ears open. We saw many miracles. One lady, she was reading the Bible. She came up for prayer. Her eyesight was going, and she had thick glasses. And so we took the glasses. We had 7 people that night with eye problems that came up, and 6 of them were totally healed. But this one, she was healed, and the reaction was just beautiful, because what I do is I test. I make sure they're healed in front of everyone, because it's an encouragement to us. And so I got my Bible, and I took it up to her, and I said, read this. She had no glasses. I had the glasses. And I said, read this. And she started to read, and as she started to read, all of a sudden she yelled out, I can see! As God just totally opened those eyes, and she no longer needed the glasses, and God restored. We've got people here that have already told me they were healed in the last 3 days. Put your hand up if you've been in the meeting, yeah? One here, been transformed. Anyone else? Okay, so God's been doing a great job. And so tonight, we're going to be praying, we're going to be preaching on my testimony, praying for healings, but especially for cancer. And so if you know people that are sick and they can't make it, and you can come, bring a cloth and we're going to anoint it, and you'll be able to take it home. And we've seen people healed on this way as well. Let's just close our eyes, because I've got a prophetic word for you. Almighty God. Almighty God. Now, I know nothing about your church. I very carefully make sure no one tells me anything when I come into a place. And you know, the strange thing is that God generally doesn't tell me anything until I'm sitting in the building. But as I sat down the front here this morning, I saw a church, and it's like you've been in the battlefield, and you've had some victories. And I'm going to read a passage for you in a moment, and we'll go through it little by little. But you've had some victories, but you've also had some defeats. And some of you are sitting there, and you're scarred. You've been hit with the spear or hit with the sword, and spiritually you're beginning to struggle. Spiritually you're beginning to ask questions. It's like you're down for the last count. Well, God's got a word for you this morning. And the word I gave to Pastor the other night, you'll get that, and that's vital, because God's got special things for this church. Sometimes we look around in the natural, and we don't see it. But you see, nothing happens in the natural before it happens in the spiritual realm. I live in the spiritual realm. I spend many times up to 7 hours, sometimes up to 12 hours a day, living in the presence of God. I get up at 5 a.m. and pray through to 7. My wife gets up at 7. We have devotions and prayer together. At 8 o'clock, we get up, have breakfast, or we go over, have breakfast. We'll do the housework. Then we come back down for the next hour and a half to 2 hours, either watching, teaching, or in the presence of God. And then of a night, we do it many times as well. And when I'm on my own like this, I just spend, if need be, all day just in the presence of God. Why? Because I love it. I don't do it for necessarily you. I do it for me, because God wants us to be in his presence. So listen to the word of God this morning. I'm not going to tell you the scriptures. You can look it up, but it's from 1 Samuel. And it says this in 13. Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men. He took 1,000 to himself, and he sent Jonathan into battle with 2,000, and they won a victory. And God said to me this morning, you as a church have won many victories. And if you were to look back and write them down, sometimes we forget, but if you were to look back and write them down, you would see victory after victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. There have been some tremendous, just look at all of you, that's a victory. Many of you would have given your heart to the Lord in this church, if not this church, some other church, but that's a victory. The Word of God says that when a sinner comes home, heaven rejoices. But when there is victory, the enemy attacks. And we see here that Jonathan went out and there was a great victory. But verse 5 says this, then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. Now, it wasn't just a garrison now. Listen to what the enemy came with. They came with 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand, which is in the seashore. Multitudes. Now, revival is coming, church. We have a choice today to be part of that revival or to let it pass. Israel should have never been in Egypt, I've been telling the people. God told Abraham to go to the promised land. When there was a drought, Israel went to Egypt. They saw the good life and they stayed, but that wasn't where God wanted them. And you know, over the last 20, 30 years, the church has gone to Egypt and stayed there. It's time to come back out. But even when God raised up Moses and brought him out and came to the promised land, the church said, we're not going in. It's not the way the last revival was done. It's not the way we want revival to happen. Well, it won't happen the way we want it. So don't look at the Catherine Kuhlmans, and I love them. Don't look at the Smith Wigglesworth, and I love them. The principles will always be the same. But God does everything unique. And what he's going to do in this church to bring revival in this church will be different to the church around the corner. But you know, as a church and as a body of Christ, we need to be united. You know what happens in Africa? You go down to the church you're speaking at, and there's four churches around it, walking distance. They're just tin sheds, but there's four churches around. And this church is having worship and while you're preaching or whatever, but there's total unity amongst the churches. Not one of them is afraid of the other one. The pastors get on brilliantly, and in fact, the church, if a church in Africa hasn't started another church within 6 months, there's something wrong. And part of the problem the church has struggled in Australia or in Canada and Australia, the same principle, you guys are so similar to us. The part of the reason the church has struggled is because the church has just sat in seats. There's a church in Malaysia right now. The pastor was speaking at our church a couple of weeks ago. And he went to Malaysia with a couple of friends. He's from there. And started a church, and he has a pioneering spirit, and so he started this church. And a friend asked him a little while later. He said, "I'm going to Russia. Will you help me start a church?" And he says, "Yeah." So he went over there to help him start the church, and they started a church there. He saw him a couple of years ago, and he said, "How's the church going?" He said, "We now have 300 churches in Russia." In his church, it has grown, and they've got, I don't know how many home groups, 60, 70 home groups in his church. And every weekend, there's a home group away, either pioneering a church or assisting others around about. And you know what that results in, church? It results in growth. But it results in you getting a spiritual vision. And the tragedy is that most of us just sit in the seat and do nothing. And we don't have a vision. And without a vision, the people perish. And so the enemy attacked. And so tragedy began to set in. We read in verse 6, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And that's where the church is today. People come into a church and they say the church is dead, so I'm going to the church down the road. They're going to a pit. They're going to a cave. They're going to somewhere where they're going to be comfortable. But you know the tragedy is that if we come to church and we say the church is dead, let's face reality. That means we're dead. Because the Bible tells me I'm the church. I'm the church. I can go to a Catholic church. I can go to a Muslim mosque and feel the presence of God. Because I'm the church. I'm the church. And so if we come to church this morning and we say, oh, isn't it boring? We're just going through the same routine. Well, that means you need a touch from God. You need to break through. Like our music player did this morning. You need to break through. You need to come. And so the enemy attacked. The enemy began to slaughter the Israelites. The church was struggling, just like the church has struggled for the last 30 years in Australia. I'm sure it's exactly the same here. And the church has struggled, and different things have grown up. And they say, look, we're having revival, but it's not revival. If we want to look at numbers, let's go to the Catholic Church. Let's close down and go to the Catholic Church. Because I don't know about here, but in Australia, the Catholics have 2 million people. And if you drive past their churches every week, their buildings are packed Saturday night. Their buildings are packed Sunday. But I'm sad to say that the majority of them don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the priests are on a one-way ticket to hell in most cases. You say, how can you say that? I know it. If you don't love Jesus Christ, if you allow sin to reign in your body, God can't have any part of you. And so the enemy attacked. Now listen to the state he left. And so some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was in Gilgal. And all the people followed him, trembling. And I sensed in my spirit this morning that your people are following your pastor, but some of you are trembling. Some of you, you've allowed fear to get hold of you. You've allowed, you know, you've just become religious. It wasn't my sermon. It's just a word, but it might end up being the sermon. But that happens to me, so you'll have to forgive me for that. Now, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man, now listen, this is the key to the prophetic word. This is the key to the prophetic word. Now, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Then Jonathan said, verse 6, to the young man who bore the armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. In other words, they didn't sit on their launch. They didn't sit out there and say, well, we're just going to wait until the church dies. Someone got up. Someone got up and become a Jonathan. But that's not what this message is about. It's about the other fella. Listen. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. here am I with you according to your heart. This church, these two people here need armor bearers who will go without question. I'm ready to die. I don't care. Even Christ faced this. Christ, the people that followed Christ followed him because they wanted miracles. And when Christ began to teach, and the teaching was a little heavy, people began to leave, to the point that Christ looked at his pallbearers and said, "Will you go also?" And they said, "Where can we go? You have the keys to the kingdom of heaven." These guys had the keys. He needs pallbearers in this season. He needs pallbearers. He needs people that are going to hold the armor. He needs people that are prepared to die. That I'll go to the cross with you, Christ. I'll go. Don't worry. I'm there with you, Almighty God. No matter what, I'm there. If there's a prayer meeting, I'm there. And listen, if you're not at the prayer meeting, then you might as well close your doors. Because the church is only religious. The breakthrough is in the spirit realm. There have been many powerful visions that have happened over the years. And those visions are starting to be fulfilled. Right now, people are getting more visions than they've ever had. We live in the most exciting time in history. A greater time than when Smith Wigglesworth lived. And I love Smith Wigglesworth. A greater time than when Amy Simple McPherson lived. A greater time than when Catherine Kuhlman lived. A greater time than when Oral Roberts lived. A greater time when these generals of God lived. We live in a time that revival is going to be ushered through the universe. Read Tommy Hicks's his prophetic word in 1967. And you will become excited, or you should become excited, because God, in a moment of time, the church may look as though it's dead. The church may look as though it's defeated. But in a moment of time, it says, Tommy Hicks's his vision says, there will be liquid fire that will come out of heaven and will fall on the church. Ezekiel 37, I'm writing a book on it. So powerful. Speak, speak. Now listen here. I'll throw this in for you. Speak to the dry bones. You mothers, you fathers, get your children, especially these little ones. It's great to see them at the front. Every night when they go to bed, get hold of them. Put your hand on them. Prophesy over them. Prophesy over them. Prophesy their husbands. Prophesy their wives. Prophesy their ministry. Look at your neighbors. Start prophesying over your neighbors. Look at your workmates. Start prophesying over your workmates. I'm not saying do that literally, but get in your window of your house and look at that building next door and start prophesying over it. Start prophesying over it. You say we have no weapons. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 4, a prophet dies. This prophet perhaps was a little unwise, or perhaps he was just living in faith and left his wife deeply in debt to the point that where the debt was owed, they were going to come and take her sons. And Satan wants to take your sons. I had a couple out here last night, and I was excited because she got angry. She got angry that Satan's got her son. You're here. Yeah, they're here. Yeah. She got angry. That's how we've got to get. It's time to kick the butt of Satan. He's had a heyday too long. He's done his own way too long because the church has sat there like this. Nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. And that's where Israel were, right here. Read on. I'm going to come back. Let's jump over here. Verse 20. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled. No, that's not it. Sorry. Here it is. Verse 22 of chapter 13. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan. Now, we could go in and read that, and we don't have time for that. But listen here, the church had nothing. The enemy had come. The Philistines had come. They had defeated the nation of Israel, and they took their swords away. They took their spears away. They took their machinery away. They took their smith workers away. And so even to the point when the farmers wanted to sharpen their tools, they had to go down to Philistine to have them sharpened. And that's where the church is. Our swords are not sharp anymore. We go out and we witness, and you've done it. And you said, you know, Pastor, I've witnessed, but nothing happens. They just laugh at me. It's because your sword is bumped. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the anointing of God. How do we sharpen that? We don't need to go to the Philistines. We need to go to our knees. We need to go to our knees. And so Israel were in a state. They had no spears. They had no swords. They had nothing. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we don't need anything. You know, the Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the armor. And we know that, and I'm not going into that. But you know, the armor weighs 70 pounds. Now, it's a bit hard for me to comprehend 70 pounds. I'm one of those people, I'm sort of in between. You know, I grew up under pounds, but I'm also in this new setup of, well, it's not new anymore, but I've never sort of really grabbed hold of that either. But in Australia, we don't say pounds, we say stone. So you're 14 stone or something like that. So when someone says that it's 70 pounds, I've got to think, now, how heavy is that? But it's heavy. I'd hate to carry 70 pounds around on the back of my shoulder all day long. And that's what they would do. And that's why the church has struggled, because they've tried to carry the armor of God around. You know, David came just a few chapters after this. David came to fight. And he came down and he says, I'll go in. And so Saul puts his armor on him. And he couldn't move. Just like the church. You know, in John chapter 11, Lazarus dies. And Jesus doesn't come. Family gets upset. Why didn't Jesus come? He's been dead 4 days. So Jesus decides to come. And the family said, oh, if only you were here. You know, God, if only you were here, Cloverdale Christian Center, is that right? Would have survived. Jesus doesn't listen to him, walks past him, says, roll the stone away. No, Jesus. By now he stinks. By now he stinks. They roll it away. Jesus speaks, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Listen. Lazarus, come forth like this. The death clothes were still around him. You know, church, to the world, the church stinks. To the world, the church is walking around like this. But Jesus said, take the straps off him. Loosen him. Let me tell you something. Now, I know Canada's not like this, so I can tell you about Australia. Let me tell you about the church in Australia. The church in Australia is like Lazarus. He stinks. He's wrapped in bandages, the death bandages. What do I mean? The church in Australia is full of sin. A lot of Pentecostal pastors, not all, a lot, a bigger percentage than don't, drink alcohol. in most churches, a large percentage of the congregation drink alcohol. In the 70s, when I was a young just starting out as a young preacher, movements were nearly split on whether you could drink alcohol or not. But now it's an accepted thing. Now, for you that drink and think we're picking on you, there's no difference between drink and gossiping. But let me tell you this, that none of them have place in the presence of God. God is looking for a holy church. I grew up in a church that was probably smaller than the crowd we got here. And that would have been a big church in those days, back in the 50s. I love to tell people, between my wife and I, we've been in Pentecost 120 years. I've been in Pentecost 60 years. I've seen a lot of good things. I've seen a lot of bad things. But back in the 50s and 60s, people would come into the church. They would run down the front because of the anointing of God, the convicting power of God. They would weep on the altar. They would weep and weep and repent. They would walk out of the building. They would try to light a cigarette. And if they could light it, it would taste like tar in their mouth. They couldn't touch it again. And if they didn't run to the front, they'd run out of the building. And they'd say, and I followed some out, and they'd say, I can't be in there. There's something there, and I can't be there. We don't have that. Why don't we have it? Because the church is full of sin. See, we say, fill me, Holy Ghost. Well, what's the first name of the Holy? Holy. The Holy Ghost can't fill you. He can cleanse you. The Holy Ghost can't fill you if you're full of sin. And you know it. It is. But that's good. You've got to deal with the problem. I'm leaving. You know, I was so fortunate. God promoted me. I pastored for 20 years. I pioneered 4 or 5 churches, involved in them. I have a master's degree in Bible theology. I have ran 3 Bible colleges. One of them was the second largest Pentecostal Bible college in Australia in the 80s. And so I've done all of that. But 26 years ago, God came to me so gracious and said, you've done a good job, Tom. I realize you're not a pastor and you've done a good job, so I'm going to promote you. You can travel and let someone else pastor. It's not easy pastoring. You know, there's 2 people I pray for dearly. One is the pastors. Because right here, I don't know, what have we got, 60 people? So you got 60 different personalities. I sat in an AGM. I don't believe in boards. They're from hell. So if you're on a board member, you need to say, I need to resign. Become a spiritual advisory, not a board member. I don't believe in church membership. You show me in the Bible where there's church membership. You show me in the Bible where there's a board. God didn't go to Moses' board. God went to Moses. And so I sat in this church. We resigned our church and we made our home a church not far from where we were. And we traveled out. And so they were having their annual general meeting. And so it was about 250 people. And so they're sitting down. And one of the topics they discussed, and they went on for about half an hour on this, they were going to paint the church. And so they debated backwards and forwards. What color will it be? Will it be yellow? Will it be pink? Will it be blue? Will it be white? Well, after about 20 to 30 minutes, I stood up as a member. And they had a big block of land next door. They were going to build this big auditorium. And I said, forget about it. You might as well sell. I said to them, you might as well sell the land next door. And they all looked at me. I said, if you people can't give authority to your leadership to make a choice on the color of walls, forget about the building. Forget about the building. I had someone say to me a couple of weeks ago, do you know what happens to the offerings of our church? I said, no, I don't care. I said, it's not my plot. I said, my responsibility is to pay tithes. What the church does with that money is between them and God. They've got to stand before God on that. So I don't need to see a statement every month or every 6 months or whatever it may be. I'm given to God. I'm not given to the church. All this must mean something. So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here am I with you, according to your heart." And Jonathan said, "Very well. Let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them." Now we know they go through the process that Jonathan asked, and the way they answered would be the way they would respond. But now let's remember, we've got two men. We've got the armor bearer, and we've got the Jonathan. All right? Jonathan is the only one with a sword. The armor bearer's got no sword. And so they stand. They go through the process. Now listen, and this is why you've got to stand behind your pastor. Listen to this. After they responded, and it was the answer he wanted, so Jonathan and his armor bearer started to climb the mountain. Now you've got to feel sorry for us, old fellas. We're not young anymore. Climbing a mountain is not easy work. And that's what it's like in church sometimes. So what did Jonathan do? Let's read. And he's a young, strong man. This mountain must have been like this. And so Jonathan had to get to the top. Now, getting to the top and then fighting a garrison of soldiers. By the time, I know I would anyway, by the time I got to the top, I'd be exhausted. And you know, sometimes pastor comes on Sundays and he's exhausted. So let's see. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees. Here's Jonathan.
Oh, my old knees.
He's climbing the mountain.
Just like this. Climbing. You know, I in my ministry, I'm like Paul. I have been. I'm not now. But when God sent us on the road, my wife and I would work for 6 months, and then we'd travel and minister for 6 months because we finance ourselves. And we've just lived by faith for the last 26 years. We were just talking about the other day. I've never kept figures. We were talking about the other day, and we believe roughly around in the last 26 years, without asking one person for a cent, God has given us over $200,000. We paid for our affairs here. We didn't ask anyone. We didn't ask to be put in hotels. When I go to Africa, and that's where we go most of the times, I listen to this. See, we can do the impossible. I Skype into Pakistan and India. I got invitations to go to Pakistan and India. My biggest challenge with God right now is to go into India. I said, "God, I like Indian food, but I don't know whether I can eat it for a month." But I Skype into these two countries. I do leadership into Pakistan with one of the churches there. I preach in their Friday night meeting. I preach in their Sunday meetings, and the same in India. When I first did this is the marvel. Each of you can do this. So, you know, don't just sit in the church. Get your computer out. Set up Skype. Get on Facebook. They're hungry for the Word of God. And so I'm preaching into this church in Pakistan via Skype. First time I ever did it. And they all want to be prayed for. So it takes you longer to pray for the people than it does to preach. And they interpret for you. And so I'm putting my hands on the screen. So the screen's right there. The person's there. I'm putting my hands on her eyes through the screen. And within 1 minute, her eyes are open. A month ago, I preached into India, into a village that is controlled by Muslims and Hindu. These people come to the meeting. But a lady came to the meeting. And this lady that came to the meeting had leprosy. And so she came forward, and I put my hand on her head through the screen. So I'm touching my computer, and she's on the other end, and I got my hand on her head, and I'm praying and commanding the leprosy to leave her. All of a sudden, she says, I'm healed. Pain's all gone. After her, a man comes up, and I'll come back to that in a moment. After her, a man comes up. He's got cancer in the mouth. He's in tremendous pain. Do the same. Pray for him. Within a couple of minutes, he says, the pain's all gone. After the meeting, he spoke for 2 hours with the pastor, something he couldn't do before. I Skyped back to the pastor on the Wednesday. That was the Sunday. I Skyped back to the pastor on the Wednesday just to check up on this lady. And he said, you know, Tom, he says, I've just left her house. And he said, the leprosy is falling off. It's all but gone. This can be you, church. This can be you. So Jonathan's on his hands and knees. He's fighting his way up this mountain, going up, 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 up. Gets to the top. Listen to what happens. This is exciting. That first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrisons and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now, just before that, what happened was that Jonathan pulls his sword out and gives it to his armor bearer. Jonathan has no sword. If you read that whole passage, you don't see anywhere where Jonathan killed one person. You see, when we walk in the Spirit, Pastor, when we walk in the Spirit, it says there in that passage that everyone fell down. You know, if you go to Luke chapter 4, Christ was tempted by Satan in Luke 4 verse 1. It says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Luke 4 verse 14, it says that Christ came forth in the power. There's a vast difference. We're living on being filled. We're living on get a few goosebumps up and down our back. We need to move in the power. So then he goes into the temple. He sits there. They give him the word. He reads the word. He sits back down. Then he gets up and he preaches. And he stirs them up. Well, this hasn't happened to me yet. It's been close. But he stirs them up to the point that they grab hold of him. They drag him out to a cliff. And they're ready to throw him over the cliff. And you know what happens? We don't have time to go to it. Read it later. Luke chapter 4. It says that Jesus just walked right through him. You know what happened? One or two things. The angels made them blind, or they were all slain in the power of God. You see, you can't touch God's anointed. So Jonathan's up there, and he's walking. Once he gets to the top of the mountain, they're waiting for him. Once he gets to the top of the mountain, he stands up on his feet. He shakes himself. He says, Holy Ghost, here we go. And he just starts walking. And his armor bearer's got the sword out. And he's holding it like this. And they're falling. And the armor bearer's gone, boom. And they're falling. Vump. They're falling. Vump. They're falling. Vump. But listen. Listen. When we step out in faith, when we step out in faith, heaven rumbles. Heaven comes alive. Heaven gets excited. Heaven begins to rumble. And here we read in this passage that there was thunder and there was rumbling and there was like earthquakes. And it got to the point that the Philistines were confused. Satan's demons were confused. And they start to fight amongst themselves. They start to kill themselves. They start to destroy themselves. So when Saul finally comes up, the victory is already won. Why? Because of Jonathan and the armor bearer. Can we have every head bowed? Now that was for you, because I've got another message, which is kingdom living. And that's what that was. So God just did it a different way today. And I love it that way. You know, there's so much. There's so much about the Holy Spirit. I've been in the ministry 46 years. And I'm learning more in the last 12 months
about the Holy Spirit than I've ever learned. I was going to be preaching on it at this conference, but we just haven't got to the areas that I was going to open up to you. And it may be that God's saying they're not quite ready for this yet, because I wasn't ready for it, some of the stuff. But we're going to leave my notes with John, and so if you want them, grab them. Anyone that wants them, I'm going to leave all my manuals. I've written 14 manuals. I'm going to leave most of them with you, and they're free. All you'll have to do is, and they're about 100 pages. They're pretty deep teaching. All you'll have to do is get a USB stick and have Word or something like that that you can put it on. And so John or Gwen will have those, and they're for anyone. And if you want to charge something and put it forward, your missions or whatever with John, that's up to you guys, but I don't want a cent from it because I'm just here to serve God. Hallelujah. Church, God is looking for armor bearers in this church. I know you're bruised. I know you've been through some rough waters. We all have. There's not one of us that haven't. You know, 3 days before I came here, and it happens every time we go away. Most times my wife's with me. But 3 days before we came here, my wife came down with the flu. And she's just got up now. She should have been probably in hospital, but she said, I'm not going to hospital. We pray for God to heal her, but Satan attacks us every time. Last time I was in Kenya, my grandson was put in hospital with an ailment no one knew, and they still don't know what it was. It was an attack of the enemy. So do you run and go back home? You know, when I went to Kenya, my mother, a week off being 87 years of age, no notice whatsoever. She'd had a bit of pain in the stomach. And so the pain persisted, so she decided to go to the doctors, and the doctor said, we'll do a CAT scan. They did a CAT scan, and she's full of cancer. The doctor said, get her to the hospital. She's got 2 days to live. I was ministering in Canberra. Now, let me backtrack just a moment to show you where we need to be in this. 40 days before this, my mother said, I'm going to fast and go on a Daniel's fast. I'd go on a Daniel's fast, fast and pray for 40 days for the family, because some of our family are backslidden. She came out of that fast, out of that 40 days of prayer, to hear the news that she had 2 days to live. She lifted her hands and said, glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. On the Tuesday, that was the Monday. On the Tuesday, they found out the results. They took her to hospital Tuesday afternoon. They rang me Tuesday night. It was lunchtime Wednesday before I could drive. It was about a 17-hour drive. We drove back, got back there Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Had a beautiful time with my mum. A week after this, I was going to Kenya. And I said to my mum, talking there, I said, Mum, and she told me, she said, I'll be home in glory. If I'm still here, you go and do your ministry. She died that night, went home to be with glory. A few days later, we buried her. 2 days after that, I flew out to Kenya. And God richly blessed it. We're not losing a mum or dad because they're home in glory. The work of God doesn't stop. Don't mourn. Smith Wigglesworth lost his wife reasonably young. He sat in his lounge room. He had a decision to make. God was using him powerfully. He had a decision to make. Would he sit in the chair and mourn, or would he travel the world and preach the gospel? That was the first time he went overseas, and we still talk about him today because of it. He said, I will not mourn. She's home in glory. Got up and went and preached the gospel. God's looking for armor bearers that are prepared to die. God is looking for armor bearers that will take the pastor's sword. I live. This is my life. God showed me, and this is where you are as a church. When Christ fed the multitude, he said to the disciples, get in the boat. And you're in the boat. Every one of you here today, you're in the boat. You're not on the shore. That's exciting. That's an encouragement to you. You're in the boat. The sad part is that only Peter got out of the boat. He wants all of us to get out. And my walk is like this. I'm out of the boat. Every day, I'm walking, and my eyes are fixed on Jesus. I don't take my eyes off Jesus. I don't look at how many people are in the church that I'm preaching at. My eyes are fixed on Jesus. I don't look at the offering they give me. My eyes are fixed on Jesus. I don't look at the circumstances revolving around that church. My eyes are fixed on Jesus. If someone starts to gossip about the pastor that I go to, I stop them and I say, I'm not interested. My eyes are fixed on Jesus. I can't be sidetracked. I can't look at anything. Because when Peter looked down at the waves, when Peter looked and said, this is not possible, he began to sink. But if our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, everything is possible. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the dead will be raised. If our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, blind eyes will be open. If our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, our children will be saved. If our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, our mother and our fathers will be saved. If our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, we will get on fire for God. So my challenge to you today is twofold. If you're prepared to be an armor bearer in this church, and I mean this church, I want you to stand. And if you're prepared to fix your eyes on Jesus and don't listen to anything else, I want you to stand. Hallelujah. 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 Look at this, Jesus. 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 Look at this. The heavens are rejoicing right now. You know what's happening in heaven? The Holy Ghost is saying to Jesus, this one's safe. This one's safe. This one's safe. This one's safe. That's okay. It's just the Holy Ghost. We had the joy in here last night. We were here at 10:30. Joy, people falling over the place laughing. That's just the joy of God. I want you to come out. And I want, actually, no, we're going to do it different. I want Pastor and Pastor's wife to come and stand in the middle. And all of you standing, I want you just to get a big circle around about them. Hallelujah. Let's move this even further away. Hallelujah. Yeah, can you play quietly? Good on you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lay your hands on them, church. If you can't touch them, touch the person that's touching them. Hallelujah. Don't worry about that. The carpet needs a bit of water. Touch them. Hallelujah. This is the start of a new day. This is the start of a new day. This is an important occasion in this church. This is the start of a new day. I don't know what's happened in your church. I know no history of your church whatsoever. But I know this is the start of a new day. Sala ba 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 ba. Begin to speak in tongues. Begin to speak in tongues. Saka la ba 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 ba. Ee ba 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 ria ra ba ba ba. Saka ba 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 ba. Ee ba 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 ria ra ba ba. Saka la ba 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 ba. E ba 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 ra ba 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 sikia. E ba 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 ria ra ba 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 ba. E ba 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 sakala ba ra ba ra ba 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 ba. E ba ba ba. Hallelujah! 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 E ba 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 ba. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep speaking in tongues, church. You're climbing the mountain right now. You're climbing the mountain right now. You're climbing the mountain right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, church, just look at me for a moment. What I want you to do, don't move where you're at. What I want you to do, the sister's going to start singing a Holy Ghost song. And as you can, begin to enter into that. But before you do that, I want every one of you to go up and give your pastor and your pastor's wife a hug. And just say, I love you, I'm with you. Do that right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. 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 Oh, worship you, Jesus. Amen.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Yes, Jesus.
Your glory,
yes,
God,
Jesus.
Is what our hearts,
yes,
are
Jesus.
To feel,
yes, Jesus.
By your presence,
yes, Jesus.
Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Oh, rabba, rabba, basaka, rabba, 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 rabba. That's it.
That could ever come close.
That's it.
Nothing can compare.
That's it.
You're our living hope.
Yes, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah.
Your presence.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. She's fine. She's fine. That's just the anointing of God. Hallelujah. She's fine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Almighty God, Almighty God, Almighty God. Almighty God, Almighty God, Almighty God.
Holy
Spirit, you are welcome here.
Come flood this place and
fill the atmosphere.
Glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
You're in your seats, lift your hands and start singing this. Worship, worship, worship. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let us become.
Hallelujah.
Of your presence.
Hallelujah.
Let us experience.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Your goodness.
Hallelujah.
Let us become.
Hallelujah.
More aware of your presence.
Yes,
let
Jesus.
Let us experience, yes, the glory,
Jesus.
Of your goodness, God.
Yes,
let
Jesus.
Us become more aware of your presence.
Yes, Jesus.
Let us experience,
yes,
the glory,
Jesus.
Of your goodness,
yes,
oh,
Jesus.
Let us become.
Oh, la ba 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 ba.
Of your presence,
Jesus.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Father, perfect health.
Holy
Father,
Spirit,
perfect health.
You are welcome.
Perfect health.
Here.
Raise, where's the boy? Raise this boy. Should you tarry to be a mighty warrior for you. We protect him from every disease. We protect him from every attack. Let him sleep long hours of the night. Let him just be the joy of this family. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Your glory,
hallelujah, Jesus.
God, is what our hearts
amen.
Long for, to be
over. Hallelujah. Amen. And we can take our seats if you're finished hugging.
Lord.
If you're not finished hugging, stay there. You're right. Amen. God's just going to keep getting you drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And don't you worry about it. It's all God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just going to wait till these people hug. And then I've just got one last little thing to say. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You need to know that... talk to Tom at all about where we are as a church and what's gone on here. It was just him and the Holy Ghost. And so what you heard today was not manipulated in any way except by God. And so I almost feel like I have to apologize because it was so right on.
If you do doubt, come and have a look at my sermon. There it is. There's nothing about what we did there. The sermon is from Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. So, amen. We're just waiting these last few are finished. Let me say, with John here, I've worked with him these last three nights. Now, I'm a prophet. But every prophet is different. What God does with me, I move in words of knowledge and I move in those areas. But what God does with me, he moves through the prophetic realm through my preaching, as you've just seen. And so all the time that I preach, it's like with Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, God said to Ezekiel, eat the words that I've written. And he had to eat the paper and then speak it forth. That's where I'm at. Now I move in the word of knowledge and I move in other areas. But I've worked with John the last three nights, and he moves in a different realm, but it's good. And so I've asked him if he's got a word, and so he's going to share.
Two things. The first one is I was very careful, despite the fact that Tom is living with me, and to be quite honest with you, I actually don't know a lot of the details of what the church is going through. I know some stuff, but it's very minor, and I purposely have kept myself completely out of everything, right? And so I was careful, because he's staying with me, to not let him know about anything that's going on whatsoever. So anything that he received was because the Lord had showed him. The only thing he was told is that our lease is coming up in September potentially. Beyond that, he knew zero about what has been going on. Zero. So what you heard was what the Holy Ghost was doing here. So let me share with you. Sometimes I get a prophetic word of knowledge, word of wisdom for people, and that's a lot of what's been going on throughout this conference and other conferences. But tonight, or this morning, the Lord is sharing with me a word for this church. And so, in the midst of, if we want to call it chaos, we're trying to figure out, okay, what is God trying to tell us in the midst of this? Where are we going? What is he doing? And I understand, although not exactly, but in a different sense, what the pastor had been going through. Because parallel-wise, I went through a very similar thing for about 5 months of my business. So we had a major attack of the enemy. I know what it's like to go through this stuff. I know the agony. I know the pain. I understand what you go through as a person. So to say all that, where are we going as a church? what God is doing with Cloverdale Christian Fellowship is we've gone from a local church and we're going to become an apostolic church. We're moving from ministering to people to ministering to a region. So some of the words that we had is that God is going to raise up this church. We're going to have conferences where we minister to a large number of people. We're going to be training and equipping other leaders, but we're going to become a church that's taking care and touching a whole region as opposed to just a small section of a city. Okay? So that's where we're going. That's the word that I just got from just now.
Amen. Let me say briefly the word that I had over you, Pastor, on Friday night. The word I had over you, Pastor, on Friday night was that he would become a life coach. And that's to you guys, but not necessarily to you guys, in that our vintage, us older guys, need to be fathers. And there's a whole new generation of pastors out there that don't know the spirit realm. And God said that this man would, when God moves in this church, these pastors will come to this man. So it's up to you as the congregation to see this church become known in Canada. And then with that, men will start to come to this guy and he'll life coach him in the spirit realm. Now I'm going to get right back now. I haven't prayed for the sick or other needs because God's done what he's wanted to do. If you're sick in your body, come tonight. So I'm not going to pray for you this morning, unless you can't come. If for any real reason you can't come, but if it's just you can't make the effort to come, then don't come out and ask me to pray for you. That's what a prophet does, I'm sorry. But because tonight there will be an anointing to heal. There will be an anointing to heal. Jesus was preaching in an upper room. The friends brought poor people along. The church wouldn't let him in. So they went and opened the roof and let him down. And it says there was power to heal. Jesus was teaching, but there was power to heal. In this place tonight, there will be power to heal. So if you know anyone sick, bring them. Second thing I want to say is this. Most of you, nearly all of you, made a commitment to be an armor bearer. The enemy's going to attack this week. Begin to speak in tongues. Begin to bind it. Don't listen to it. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, you made a commitment. Now listen, you signed a contract out here this morning. If you walk out of this church this week and go to another church, God's anointing will be lifted off your life. I'm sorry. You made a commitment. That's what God does. Part of what I would have taught this morning. Listen to this. God wants to raise up covenant people with visions and dreams. God wants to raise up covenant people with purpose for holy living. God wants to raise up covenant people who are submissive. God wants to raise up covenant people with special faith and trust. God wants to raise up covenant people with an incorruptible heart. And there are illustrated. Either each of those is a series on its own. Now the other thing I want to say, and then I'm giving back to you, Pastor. I gather from now what we've seen and the way God has moved that there has been a little problem and it's probably affected your music team. Some of you people have got beautiful voices. I'm not going to ask you to do it now, but you need to come to the pastor and say, I'll be on the music team. Some of you people can play a drum. You need to say, I'll play the drums. I helped pioneer a church. A friend of mine, well, I didn't pioneer a church. I helped take over this small church. Pastor was burnt out and he needed a 6 months break. Now I only failed one subject in Bible college and that was music. And so I took over this little church, had about 20 people just for 6 months. He wanted a 6 months break. And we had no music. And so I went over to the piano on my first day. Just step aside for a moment. You hold this. I said, that's my ability. So you better pray in a piano player. And we have one in 2 weeks. I feel different than when I came in. God's done something. I feel a confidence. I can give it back to the pastor with confidence. Thank you, Pastor.
One of those mornings when you really feel like you heard from God, you know. Thank you all for being here and for your commitments. I know what it means, and I know the cost, and I appreciate every one of you. The prophetic word we received was that there is a bright future. And so it's not like you're signing on to a Titanic. I have a hope and a confidence that things are going to build, that we have, you said it's mine.
Yeah. Let me say, with the Titanic, you turned me down. I must have a bigger voice than you. Anyone heard of John Harper? He was so committed to God that he was on that Titanic. And when it began to sink, he had his daughter with him. And he put his daughter and the carer in the boat. And he continued to go around preaching. Preaching. The boat's sinking and he's preaching. He's in the water. Freezing water. And people, there was one guy. This is the guy that recorded all this. There were others. But he would float by and John Harper would say, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And the thing would go away, and then God brought it back and he said, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And that guy accepted Jesus Christ. Moments after that, John Harper sunk below the water to go home to glory. 3 years later, that man stood up in a meeting and said, "I'm born again because of a preacher that died for me." Let's die for Jesus.
Why don't you stand? I just want to bless you. Jesus, thank you for the authority that you give me. And with that authority that is under your authority, I ask you to bless each one here, Lord. We are equipped to go through this time and this season. You have equipped us, or we would not be here. We wouldn't be at this place, because you will never put us into a fight that we're not ready for. So Jesus, thank you that we're ready in this season. Thank you for this people that are ready in this season. Would you pour out your grace upon them? Grace is God's empowering presence. His empowering presence. So God, pour out your grace upon this, your people, for this time and this season. Pour out your provisions, O God. Pour out your healing, O God. Pour out your reconciliation, O God. And bless this, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Bless you, bless you, bless you.